It's December 2007. Welcome to the Student Press Law Center podcast. This monthly update of news affecting the legal rights of student media is made possible by a generous grant from the Newspaper Association of America Foundation. The Student Press Law Center is a champion for student voices. Recognizing the essential roles freedom of speech and press play in a democratic society, the SPLC is committed to nurturing and protecting those freedoms for our next generation. More information about the center's work is available at www.splc.org. Hi, I'm Mike Heaston, legal consultant to the Student Press Law Center. Thanks for joining us. As sometimes happens this time of year, at least when we're lucky, it was a pretty quiet month on the student press front. Of course, there are always a few censorship controversies, including an interesting case out of McNeil High School in Austin, Texas. There, the principal allowed the student newspaper staff to distribute an article about student drug use in this month's issue, after pulling copies with the same article from news racks in November. The principal said the story was inaccurate. She also didn't like that it relied on anonymous sources, and so the December issue included a letter she wrote expressing her concerns. While it appears here that there was ultimately an attempt to reach some sort of middle ground, it's unfortunate that school officials continue to exercise the nuclear option first, confiscating newspapers, which leaves their students with a lousy and lasting civics lesson about the importance of protecting a free press, even when it publishes things you don't like. There were also developments in a couple of court cases that could affect student media interests. The first was a preliminary ruling from a Missouri judge who refused to lift the suspension of a Lafayette High School student suspended for taking photos during class with his digital camera and posting them to his Facebook profile file. The content of the photos doesn't really seem to be at issue. Nothing racy, nothing controversial, just students in class, a few of them giving the standard thumbs up upon realizing they were on camera. The main issue before the court is really that the photos were taken at all. It's an interesting case. It raises some important issues about how today's new and evolving technology fits into the traditional classroom setting. School officials argue that the student was suspended because he disrupted class. But that's kind of a tough argument to make when school officials admit they didn't even find out about the photos until 2 weeks after they were posted online. As the student's attorney was quoted saying, "There was no disruption of the class period at all, much less any substantial disruption." Still, courts are generally reluctant to tie the hands of school officials when it comes to maintaining order and discipline, particularly while class is in session, and the court may be tempted to bend traditional law to make sure that doesn't happen here. In any event, no matter how this particular case is finally resolved, high school student journalists must exercise caution and understand that even though today's technology allows them to gather news and information almost anywhere and any time, they generally remain bound by reasonable school rules governing the use of their cell phones, digital recorders, cameras, and other reporting tools. Finally, as we discussed during last month's podcast, there was a very important and troubling ruling out of the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals last month that we're continuing to watch. The case involves an El Paso high school student punished for writing a fictional account in his personal diary that included his committing acts of school violence. Though local police quickly dropped their investigation after looking into the matter and finding no actual danger, school officials there continued to call the student's writings a terroristic threat and refused to change their plans to send the student to an alternative school. In upholding the school's action, the court adopted a new and exceptionally broad legal standard that would allow school officials to censor or punish any student speech that they believe advocates an activity, quote, entailing arguably marginal harms. Such a standard, if allowed to stand, could greatly expand the censorship powers of school officials over student speech in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, the three states covered by the Fifth Circuit. Fortunately, early this month, the student's attorney appealed the case to the full Court of Appeals. We will, of course, continue to keep you posted. Well, that's the SPLC podcast for December 2007. On behalf of the Student Press Law Center, we wish all of you a happy holiday season and a censorship-free 2008. For more information about today's topics, visit the SPLC website at splc.org. If you're a student journalist or advisor with a media law question, you can also call us at 703-807-1904. Thanks again to the Newspaper Association of America Foundation for its support of our podcast. More information about their work can be found at naafoundation.org. I'm Mike Heaston. On behalf of the Student Press Law Center, thanks for listening. We value youth voices. We hope you do too.